Welcome to the SUAS News Podcast series, where we interview and talk to the newsmakers in the unmanned systems community. I'm your program host, Patrick Egan, and as we always do, this is about the time we introduce our tenured co-host, Mr. Gene Robinson.
Hello, Patrick. Yes, I have been the sidekick for a while, haven't I?
You have. If this was academia, you know, you could just give up on personal hygiene and say all the crazy stuff you wanted to say. But since it's not public university, you'll have to reel it in. How's it going today?
Good. We're just trying to keep our nose above water. Texas is just as stormy and rainy as it can be. It's our spring monsoons. You know, that's when we had the big flood back in 17 and 15. So, you know, we're just kind of floating around here trying to keep our noses above water.
Right. Now, and the floating around, you were saying that the plan was to go out to the body farm today. Is that off?
Yes, we... Yeah, no. We've had a break in the rain. We are going to go to the San Marcos Forensics Anthropology Center and do some more data collection. This is kind of part and parcel to some of the stuff that we'll be talking about a little bit later. But you know me, I got called out on search and rescue this weekend with the floods. We've had water rescues out the wazoo. Unfortunately, we had a death and... You know, this is stuff that is my world, and I'm going to continue exploring my world just as much as I can.
I know. Well, you know, for anybody that doesn't know what that is, you should get on the interweb and Google search it. It's we have talked about this in the past, and it's rough. It's rough subject matter, but I know that they learn a lot of good things out there at the farm. Down on the farm. Farm drones.
Indeed.
It's an interesting thing. So, you know, here we are. It's May 9th, 2019. Hard to believe that we're really here. Ooh. Years keep ticking by. But 7 years ago to the day, at 1 p.m., we kicked off the SUAS News podcast series. And the first
groundbreaking it was,
you know, and first episode was SUAS Search and Rescue. And not only were you the co-host, but you were the guest. Actually, you were the guest. And then you did such a, you know, wonderful job that we're like, hey, we need a co-host that's got the system and industry gravitas. Like Gene Robinson, and then that's how you became the co-host for the podcast series. So do you remember that? Those many moons ago.
I remember it well. Yes, but you know what? We've had some pretty darn good subject matter experts on this show, and as you've always said, it's gold right here on the podcast, and it's true.
There is some real gold. I mean, I'm rolling back some of this stuff here, man. And we also talked about your book in 2012, First to Deploy, which I know has been, it's like the textbook for search and rescue. It's funny, you know, as we see this thing move forward with the drone thing. I mean, every day there's like a news story about an applications for drones that was probably pioneered 10 years ago. It's kind of comical. It's tiring or tiresome to look at. You go, oh, look. Oh, my God. You know, police departments can use drones. Like, it's a revelation. You know, not like they weren't doing it in the early 2000s or, you know, before and... You know, to help solve crimes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, before the policy clarification, that's another one. Even at California UAS Day at the Capitol there, they were like, you know, yeah, Alameda County Sheriff's Department, you know, we're pioneering this whole deal. We've done everything. We mapped that campfire in 2 or 3 days. It was a piece of cake. Lickety damn split. It was so good. You know, and I was like, you know, actually, remember the, like the official rollout, I think, was SAC PD with the drones in 2008. Or maybe it was 2007.
Oh, yeah.
Right after the policy clarification. I used to like to get on there and ask Officer Midge or whatever her name was, hey, how's the drone program coming along? But it was such a sore subject. Nobody wanted to talk about the $85,000 paperweights or whatever it was. I don't know. Anyway, it was kind of funny. You know, and I'm looking back here. We got some other ones. Standards update, ASTM F-38 back in, 9/19/2012. It was a popular show. It had like 7,000 listens. And fast forward to 2019, and I'll ask you, Gene, how many ASTM F-38, and you go way back on this, because that's like the first time we met in person, 2005, May, right? ASTM. Okay, want to take a guess on how many standards, F-38 standards, the FAA has adopted?
Is it a multiple guess question?
No, you know, just take a wild win. I don't know, you know. Does it fit the bread
I'm
box?
I'm going to hazard a guess of zero.
God, you're good. You've been at this for a while. That's exactly correct. None. You know, and I mean, I don't want to deride the whole program because it was 14 years of meetings with great people and flying all around and having your stuff rewritten and all the rest of that stuff. But hey, whatever, you know. I mean, you don't want to fault the whole program for, you know, lack of adoption, you know, right? I'd sound like a nitpicker. That Egan guy is nitpicking. I know. Well, it's gotten so absurd, really. You know, it was another one I posted on LinkedIn this morning about, FOIA request shenanigans. And you probably remember back in 2012. I think we did a show about it. I had FOIA requested the job description for the head of the UASI. Well, I think at the time it was still UAPO. And it was interesting. The job description was great. Like every year, you know, it said whoever's running the dog and pony show was supposed to write a report, progress report, and, give that to the Associate Administrator of Aviation Safety, which was our good friend, Peggy Gilligan. Love Peggy. She was a nice person. Anyway, it's supposed to give it to them. So to 2012, you know, I went and I tried to FOIA the progress reports for the UAPO, and it, you know, didn't. I never heard back on that. And then somebody else did a story on FOIA logs that, the FAA kept. And, whose name was on there multiple times, but, you know, me. And, and I was reminded of the, the progress reports that I never got back in 2012. So I did the same thing. I got Earl Lawrence's job description, and it had changed a little bit. There was more, stuff in there about making it an inclusive work environment or whatever. But it still mentioned that, you were report to the associate administrator on the progress. So I made the FOIA request again. I think that was last year. Anyway, I'm still waiting. You know, nobody can find the progress reports. They don't know what I'm talking about. So, and I've been all over with that one. But, you know, that's another one that'll keep going. But these are some of the throwback stories. Another one that we did back in 2012, in November of 2012, was RPA Science with Jeff Bland from NASA. And, you talk to these people, oh, you can use drones to monitor weather. Oh my God, this is crazy. Have you ever even thought about that, Gene? Using it to
never.
Using exactly weather or atmospheric sciences or monitor volcanoes. Holy mackerel. Anyway, so Jeff came on and he's it's pretty funny, he's that one is a 27,000 listens. That was probably one of our most popular shows. And he talked about how they were using drones for, I don't know, now it's got to be 25 years to, weather and monitor gases from volcanoes and do all this other work. before NASA became, you know, the paperwork and bureaucratic nightmare that it is. And last time I saw Jeff, it was him and another fellow from JPL and some representatives from CARB. And we were out at the dump, and they were sniffing for methane, you know, greenhouse gases off of landfill. Mm. And they were using a kite to fly a $45,000 methane sniffer, which I thought was kind of interesting. And the people from CARB, I brought the trunk full of drones, and they're like, can't we put this on a drone? And I'm like, we could. And they're like, oh, let's do it. And the guys from NASA are like, no. You know, because it had been
well,
trouble, you know, and everything else. So
that was back in the halcyon days when, you know, we were trying to get a drone to do anything. You know, just let us prove it. I mean, that was the big deal. You had to prove it.
Right. Well, and it's just kind of funny. So, you know, this is the NASA dichotomy, right? So the NASA technology, there's always a cool backstory. So the methane sniffer they were flying on the kite, you know, the 4,000-year-old technology of the kite and the string. I mean, it's just so absurd. It's pathetic, really. But anyway, so that's the same methane sniffer that's on the Mars rover. You know, it's not the same one, but it's exactly like
same model and all that.
Same model, make, all the rest of that stuff is that's on the Mars rover, right? And so that's on Mars.
I did not know that.
Yes, yes. That's pretty exciting. I do have pictures of it somewhere. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. You know, and here it is. It's up there. They launched it on a rocket. It's on Mars sniffing for methane, looking for life. And, you know, these guys are flying it on a kite here on the surface of the Earth. So, you know, it just, and then people like, well, you know, why is your attitude so bad? Why are you, you know, you're kind of a jerk, you know, a negative. Oh, yeah, I don't know, yeah. You know, Mars, kite, string, whatever. You know, have a nice day. The other one that was great is CARB had about, you know, $6,000 worth of equipment in the back of a Chevy Tahoe or whatever. And they had, they were sniffing using a tube like you would use for your fish tank, slammed in the car door, and that was doing the sniffing. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, do you log how much of this, you know, silicon tubing is sticking out of the door jamb? Is it like, you know, random, or is it 2 inches, 3 inches? You know, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty crazy. Then we had, we remember, and I'm talking about weather, we had the guy on from NOAA, and he was telling us about how hurricanes form. You know, you remember
that? Yeah,
that
was a pretty cool one, but I'm kind of a weather geek anyway, so I like the information that comes out of those kind of podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, how that energy transfers from the water and into the air and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? They were using drones to collect data about weather. And I think I even asked the guy on the podcast about his opinion on climate change. No comment. So, you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, of course he's going to have to say that.
I don't want to lose my job. Anyway, you know, whatever. Anyway, and then more and more, we did talk about, we've talked more about, you know, I think we did a podcast on that Bastrop burn thing you did when you were doing, that's another,
oh, yeah.
Hey, guess what? You can use drones to better understand the wildland urban interface. Have you heard of anything like this?
You got that. I'm surprised you remembered that whole acronym thing, the WUI.
I do, but you know what? They've got something totally new cooked up this year, and they're gonna actually use drones for that. You know, understanding the WUI. I, you know, it's groundbreaking. Especially since you did it back in what, 2013 or 2012? But you know, whatever. Again, nitpicking. Damn,
yeah, that was the NIST thing, you know, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, when we were flying the WUI research there.
Yeah. I think I remember there was like a documentary about that somewhere. you know. But do you remember that, or?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to recall. I mean, there's been too much water under the bridge. Let's see, me?
Yeah, that's right. Huh? Yeah, exactly. That was you. Oh, and then here I'm, you know, this was the one that I liked too. We did one, Unmanned Oklahoma back in 2014. And one of our guests was Kelvin Drogenmeier, who is now, you know, top dog over there at the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. So, you know, we have like someone famous on board. You know, there's lots of.
Wow, that's a stretch. That's good.
I'm telling you. And then, but we haven't heard any of that because, you know, people were bellyaching about how the Trump administration's not into science. But Mr. Drogenmeier's actually, believe it or not, a scientist. So, you know, that was good. You know, so that was one of our more famous people that, well, let's say local boy does good. Good guy, scientist. Over at the White House Office of Science and Technology. I hope to run into him one day as I, you know, I have a couple of a short list of concerns that I've been working on that the drone industry has.
You have short a list?
Yeah, I got this dartboard, right? And I have like thing like, you know, Chinese toy company, lack of progress, no science. And I just throw darts at this stuff. And then those are kind of my topics for the year, you know. It's great. Works out good. You know, we talked about, you know, FAA enforcement, which never materialized. Oh, there's one with Texas Equisearch. You know, we that was a
that
good
was
one.
The lawsuit. Yeah, that was the lawsuit.
Yeah, we talked about that. I don't remember the details on that one, but that whole Equisearch deal, are you doing much with them anymore, or is it...
We'll be doing a June 1, we'll be doing kind of an orientation for new members. They are very active in the search and rescue, search and recovery game right now. So, yep, still in touch with them. Me and old Tim Miller, you know, the hillbilly on a horse, he's still after it.
Well, that's good. He's got a lot of passion. And I remember there was a documentary there, too.
There was. You know. There was another documentary there.
Yeah, there were some folks near and dear to our hearts that were in that. And, Tim, boy, I'll tell you, that was a rough one to watch. And, you know, I mean, I know that it made the circles and went all over. And even on the SUS News video channel, it's got, I don't know, 30,000 views or 50,000 views. I don't know. But I mean, even at the time, remember, you know, oh, I'm not touching that one. You know, AVSI wouldn't even admit it existed. And, you know, it really too bad because, you know, it was definitely that use where, you know, it was moving, you know, drones for good and all the rest of that forward thing.
Yep.
But
that's the promotion. We were doing drones for good.
Yep. And we had our old buddy Gus Calderon on, and we talked about the Volantis, the Lady Gaga dress.
The flying dress.
Yeah, that was pretty good. We have so many of these roadmaps and test sites and regulatory ones, Art of Sensible Regulation. We kept talking about, God, it just seems like so many years. And, you know, we fast forward through that, you know, with the FAA's back on. I mean, they closed out the AVSI exponential spectacle with, guess what the head of the UASIO said they needed?
Oh, I know the answer to this question because it was asked of me personally back in 2010. So I'm not going to give it away.
Well, why not? Come on, you know, because I mean, I was a little shocked, you know. And I even wrote a little story about it.
They need more data. They need more data.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the first time we heard that was probably about 2004 or 5 that they needed data. And I wrote a little article about that. I think we need accountability more than data because, you know, as it was, they've been using that data ruse, you know. And as I said in the article, we didn't even come down off of the ID and tracking and repeal of 336. And God, we need that before we can do beyond visual line of sight. You know, forget about, just don't listen to anybody talk about detect and avoid. That's right off. Or a UTM, don't need that certification. Or a practical test for, you know, it's just like they bring the kids in, they feed them a bunch of crap, and then they, you know, oh, okay, well, if we do that, then we'll be able to do whatever we want. It's the same old game. You know, it's like the, I call it the old prom date routine, you know? And I'm not, after like 17 proms, I'm not buying anymore. I know how the game works. You know, I'm a slow learner. But, you know, anyway, I don't want to go too far down that road because this is a family show. Yeah, so, you know, we had all of that. We've talked about, you know, some of the NASA efforts, which, you know, I don't know. I don't think they're too happy with me because I'm not too happy with them. You know, I'm not on the rah-rah thing with the UTM. I'm a little disappointed, really. $87 million, and, you know, we're paring things down. A little bit of letdown.
What are you going to do, though? I mean, you know, they got to get something done, and it's just going to have to, they're going to have to get off the pot, so to speak.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, remember, I mean, you know, anytime I bring up Access 5, that's like nails on the chalkboard. But there was another one.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, as a pilot, you know, looking at ADS-B, you know, having to put an ADS-B in my plane, and they're already talking about ADS-B being overtaxed, and the UTM is supposed to join in there with it. I'm a little concerned about it, too. I mean, that there is certainly a cause for concern there.
Well, and then there was the AirSat program before Access 5, which is another $50 million or $110 million. I'm calling them Bauer doggles. I don't know if you remember Jeff Bauer, but, you know, this was back in the day, too, when everybody was like, oh, we've got to integrate drones into the NAS. Oh, yeah. And the smalls, you know, there's no money in the smalls, so forget that. Let's just go for the big iron. Oh, okay. You know, you know, the little ones that are a pound or whatever, you know, it's too hard to do. So let's just move on to the big stuff and blow, you know, $150 million, you know, channel it over to my program and it'll be great. So, you know, and anytime you bring that up, you're negative. Oh, okay. Well, you know, even with this UAS and the NAS thing, and that's how I got on the interplanetary poo list, is I asked them, well, what's the scope of the project? Oh, we're going to integrate everything. Well, $100 million isn't enough, you know, and, you know, people were pissed off, and I told them they weren't going to make the goal, and people were questioning why I was on the call, and you know, I did say for the public record, you know, we'll put this down, I'm advocating, like the de facto trustee for the taxpayer. Then people went really nuts, you know. Anyway, I don't really care. I understand how the game works. The game works is, you know, let's just keep the funding alive, get a couple of people in the program, and we'll massage this thing until some benevolent tech company like Google or Amazon steps in and writes a check for $400 million, which, you know, I don't know what's going on with that. But they said that's just not happening. That's not how billionaires roll. Billionaires roll. Hey, let's get the taxpayer to pay for the infrastructure so I can use it to make billions of dollars, you know. People are still like, you know, that these big corporations are altruistic. Yeah, you know. Sure they are. And my name's Elmer Fudd, and I own a mansion and a yacht. But that's another story. Anyway. So, yeah, you know, you go through all of these different story titles or show titles, and God, it's like, you know, some of the folks like Monarch Drones, remember how much promise there was there? You know, they had this little company, and they were going to have jobs and all the rest of that stuff, and That was before the 107, but even that, when the 107 came out, they couldn't make it. Just like 3D robotics, you know, went down. Oh, another good one, Super Drones with Tony. I can't even remember his last name right now, but the guy, Tony Dyson. That was it, and he was the guy that invented R2-D2, and that was an interesting podcast. He had some other ideas that he wanted to do, robot trading cards and other STEM stuff and whatever. That was a pretty interesting one. So another guy that, R2-D2 has got to be the most famous robot ever, besides maybe the one more than Lost in Space or Robbie the Robot or Metropolis or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. You've never heard that one.
Never.
I think I've used it on you, 20 times. I don't know. And then we got, you were talking about the floods in Texas in June of 2015. We did one about Texas flood czar. That was interesting.
Yes, indeed. It'll be used in a lot of places.
Yeah, it was a good one. And we talked about the MPRM before, it went out. Drone risk studies, that probably never happened. Drone registration blues, we talked about that. The extrajudicial killing machine, talked about all of that. Had guys from drone deploy on, some drone detector stuff, drone regulations, part 2, 3. After the drone rush, we thought things were going to change. God, there's some real doozies on here. Talked about some of the realities of drone mapping, more FAA enforcement, which never came. Drone forecasts, we had some really wild stuff on here. We talked about the California wildfires and all the work that Greg Crutchinger did. He doesn't know it yet, but I kind of dropped the ball during this year's expo and did not give out an award for the industry leadership award. I had a lot of stuff going on in my personal life, including an electrical fire at the homestead. 2 days before the expo, so things were a little.
That's helpful.
Yeah, it was a completely wheels off deal. But anyway, made the best of it. You missed out this year. We did some good stuff, man. Well, I know it's hard to hit everything, but we did have Terry Miller did his talk, and Terry, being in the insurance business, knows all of the trends probably a year and a half before everyone else. And just like we already knew from the beginning of time in this deal, remember when we started in this drone thing, it's hard to kind of build your own system, but as systems became a little bit more refined, or people found systems that worked, people were trying to do the work in-house, and that's exactly what's happening now. Easier, especially now, it's easier to train an expert to use the drone than the droner to be an expert in your various fields. So that's kind of interesting. Then we had another guy, this Joshua Resnick from Parallel. He has an interesting system that he's working on, both gas and electric. Another guy from a little company called Iridium, who actually has a, ID and tracking solution and UTM solution pretty much available anywhere on the surface of the earth. Infrastructure is already, they just put like $9 billion new satellites in orbit. So they got bandwidth, they got coverage, they got it all, man. And, I think that's a solution. And I was kind of asking them, how come they haven't really got the dog in the fight? And they're like, well, we because, you know, we didn't really think about it. I mean, they're already in aviation, so that's one thing that I think that'll be promising here in the future. If it were me, you know, small American company, I'd be banging down the doors of Congress saying, hey, man, you know, here we are. We have the solution for you. No more sandbagging. There were also, God, who was the other one that was really good? Greg Kretzinger, Scholar Farms. He's going to win the award this year, the Leadership Award. I mean, after all of the work that he did on the campfire, I mean, that deal is so polished that, I mean, it really is pretty astounding. I mean, I saw this stuff earlier, but now he's got it all worked out with, you know, there's video flybys of stuff. You can, you know, it's amazing. This stuff is really good. I mean, people were like, this is like $1 million worth of work that the state paid him about $4,000 or $5,000 for.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say, you know, so he's got a PhD. He's a scientist. He's, you know, an academic, and his presentation was pretty salty. I think he's I think he's burned out. He's like, I don't know why these guys don't listen to me. Maybe it's because I don't wear, you know, the BDUs and I don't drive a Sprinter van. He's like, I got a Subaru Forester with a baby seat in the back, you know, and they don't pay attention to me. And I said, so I was laughing about that. It's really kind of too bad, but you know, I think it's a bigger problem that we have here in the in California. And this will probably even lead into our guest that's been silently waiting in the wings. But we're fighting fires same way we did in the 20th century. And this is the 21st century. And it's really about software. It's about data. But, you know, this is another thing. So even talking to the people in the state here, in this so technologically first state, let's say, none of these government agencies have the infrastructure to support any of this data. I mean, people are driving hard drives around, you know, from, you know, several hour drives, 2-3 hour drives each way. That's not very efficient. And then
yeah,
also,
there's gigs of data out here.
Yeah. Or, you know, there was Verner gave his Sewers of San Francisco talk. Ooh, I think I'd rather, you know, somebody else there was from an energy company, and I guess they use drones and they'll fly in power plants or whatever. I'm like, I'll go after the radioactive drone before the sewer drone. Okay, how about that? You know, but, you know, even then they're like trying, you know, they have this public policy where the public's got to be able to view the data. You know, he's uploading some video, and you know, he gets the frantic call, turn it off, you're crashing our system. You know, so I mean, they just don't even. Or I was at the fire department, and they've got like these paperweights. I think they're like 386 or 486 computers. That, they couldn't even play videos on. It's like okay, and that's the training. Yeah, it's the whole deal's nuts. Anyway, so you know, we have a long way to go before we're smart citying. Heck, we got a long way before we're smart politicianing. Here's another funny one you might like, and I know you've been out here to California, and you're one of those guys. Why the hell do you stay out here? And it's because the weather's nice, and I like lots of arbitrary gun control and lots of taxes, okay? That's why I live here. And so the governor, you know, decided he's going to, you know, we got to figure out why these gas prices are so high, California. I think we have the highest gas tax in the state of United States of America. But and if you wanted to open a refinery in California, I would ask if you were on drugs or just insane. You know, it's a toss up. Or maybe you could be on drugs and insane and open a refinery. You know, I don't know. Anyway, so it's been a good time. You know, we've had, you know, all these shows, but we do have a guest waiting in the wings. Maybe you can introduce this gentleman for us.
Okay. Well, as most of my followers know, that I kind of made my name in the search and rescue game. And one of the things that I have always kind of pleaded and begged for was a computer solution to all this data that, that we collect. And I was introduced to this individual some time back. And once I heard what he was doing and how he was getting it done, I immediately said, I want to be your best friend, because this is something that has been a long time coming. And he formed a company, and I guess probably it would be best for me to let PJ talk about it. But without further ado, I would like to introduce PJ Kirkpatrick. So, PJ, you're on.
Hi, thanks. Hello, Patrick. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Well, so, PJ, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started on this and where it's all going, because I think it's some pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, sure. So it got started by me failing doing a search and recovery mission. It wasn't so much the data collection portion of the search and recovery mission that I failed at. It was identifying the missing person in the photographs, because at the time we were just, you know, using our human eyes. Long story short, we were told by the local law enforcement folks that the missing person was in plain sight. And I basically went back into the archives, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure we flew this area, and we did, and we actually captured an image where the missing person was. And as a result, I was determined to come up with a process that would increase the success rate of identifying those missing persons. So what we did is came across the gentleman, Shane Michaels, who developed a program. He's out of Canada with Wings of Mercy. And at the time, program only existed on his computer. He was writing it in code. And so long story short, again, I asked him how I can help him, and we formed a company called Locate, L-O-C, with the number 8. And we basically, thank you. We automated the process so that the software scans the images, and we don't have to rely on the human eye to identify whatever it is we're looking for. And there's a couple techniques that we use with the program. And yeah, we're very excited that Gene's part of the company. He's been very resourceful with providing feedback as we've been developing it and going forward, improving it. So that's Locate in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Yeah, no, he... Gene knows his stuff. You know, you probably already figured that out. That he's pretty
he's a wealth resource.
Yes, he is. And you know, he wrote the book and all the rest of that. And you know, personal endorsement for Gene is people always out there like, do you know any drone expert? Are you a drone expert? I'm an aspiring drone expert, but I know a guy that's an expert. His right. name's Gene Robinson. And I say that, you know, and not only because Gene's my friend, but I'm really one of these guys, and I don't, you know, unfortunately, I don't have the time to spend out in the field. But really, that is where the rubber meets the road. That is where you learn. All the rest of it is all speculation. It's when you're out there, boots on the ground, in the field, you know, with a leather man and some duct tape, trying to make it work. That's really Absolutely. Where it all happens. And you can't buy that kind of knowledge anywhere. So Gene's, you know, has got my hat's always off to him. But I'm interested. He says good things about the product. And I'm interested to see it. But, you know, maybe you could also give us some thoughts on it, Gene.
Yeah, it's, you know, some of the things that we've used in the field, like you say, for squinting images have been incorporated into the software, which is it is so important to be able to reduce the number of false positives that we get. And, you know, when you have 3,000 images from a search and you've got a person that's trying to look through them and takes, you know, 2 or 3 minutes at a shot to really go over an image like that, to be able to do that in seconds is just a phenomenal boost to productivity and to the minutes. And I've always said in a search, minutes matter.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to go through literally thousands of images in minutes instead of hours is just a tremendous boost to productivity in a search environment. And PJ, I think you ought to talk about the bloodhound technique that you guys came up with, and I love it.
Yeah, sure. So the bloodhound technique is similar to where traditional searches, where if you hold something in front of a dog and it sniffs it, it looks for that or it tries to look for that, follow that scent. Well, the bloodhound technique, we can take an image either of the individual or what they're wearing, and we basically extract the RGB value from the pixel. So the computer program is looking for numbers. It's not looking for a person. It's just, you know, it's just looking for what we ask it to look for. And there's techniques where we can, you know, expand the color search, if you will, because, you know, that picture was taken from one camera, and the data that's being collected for the search is being conducted with another camera. So the beauty of the program is that it does not rely on the internet, because, as you know, a lot of these search and rescue missions are out in the middle of nowhere where there's oftentimes no internet access. So it doesn't rely on internet access. It doesn't, it's not even dependent on any type of drone or camera. Really, the goal is to obtain an image, and computer program will basically look for it. So it takes about it'll scan about 1 second per image, and you know, there's about 17 million different color variations that we're looking at. So, and once it finds the color match, if you will, it'll identify the location. It'll put a red circle around it. It'll produce a report, so you can provide it to the incident commander, whoever's in charge. That's kind of the bloodhound technique.
I like it. It's interesting. The software thing is really what is going to make the drone thing, let's say, progress. The autonomy. And this sounds like you guys are making that step into that right direction. I mean, the drone is a tool, but just as June said, I mean, I've done ISR. I've trained ISR. People, the eyes get fatigued. People get fatigued. You start missing stuff. And so if this software solution can do, let's say, the hard work or sniff it out, man, this is going to be a game changer. So I look forward to seeing that.
The feedback we've got from the folks that have been tested it and trialing is that they're very excited. We have a methodical process to review the images. So we're very excited with that feedback.
Well, that's good. So this is almost going to close, and the new thing at Blog Talk is as soon as the clock runs down, the party's over. Did you give the website address?
Sure. It's locate.life. LOC8.life.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. I'm glad that you were on, Gene, as always. And, you know, that was a good 7th anniversary. 7 years! It's crazy! But it's good that we're still here and we're still doing it, and we're not going away. Anyway, I'd like to thank everyone that listens to the SUAS Nude Podcast. We do all of the news and the video and the stories and the hump busting and keeping everyone honest and trying to level the playing field for you. So, to the listeners out there that we care about. Anyway, all right, that's it for me for this week. Gene, anything in closing?
Keep the stick back, man. That's all I can say. Keep your nose out of the alfalfa.
Nose out of the alfalfa. That's good advice. All right, everyone. Till next time, out.
We'll see you. Bye.